Bible says in Psalms 26, my feet stand on level ground. Amen. It might be unlevel out there. It might be up and down. But here, this place is level ground. And I'm thankful for that. And it says, in the great congregation, I will bless the Lord. We are here to bless the name that is above every name. And I'm thankful to be on solid ground, on level ground here this morning. Amen, amen. We serve a great God. Just a few announcements. Tuesday at 11 here at the church is our 65 and older luncheon here at the church. So if you need information or if you have questions, please see Sister Helen about that. And then our men's steak cook-off is this coming Saturday at Memorial Park at 5:30. So if you want to go to that, Memorial Park at 5:30. And if your teen is going to back to the battlefields next Friday on the 29th, please have them here at the church at 3:45 and have them bring some money for food. And also let Sister Casey or Sister Jordan write no by today. Amen. We're excited about our teens. We want to get behind our teens and help them grow. And our fall party is coming up in a few weeks. For info is out, the information on that is out in the foyer, and we need some help with baked goods. And if you can sign up in the foyer, please sign up by next Sunday. Amen. If we could have our ushers come, and as we continue in another form of worship this morning, as we give unto the Lord, there's many ways to give to God, and there's a kiosk in the back, and you can come up front, or there's online, I believe. So, amen. Many ways to give. Lord, we come before you, ask that you bless the gift and the giver today. We ask that you, as we come into another form of worship and as we give unto you, I pray that you touch us today, that you bless us, that we allow us to open our hearts for your word today. I pray and I ask this in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. Come and give unto the Lord. Shake someone's hand. Let them know you're happy to see them here at Turning Point Church.
okay. Because here's the reality. Every last one of us need a touch from God. Every last one of us. Would you, if you're able to, and if it's appropriate, would you put the hand, your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you? And we're going to sing this song one more time collectively, because I believe that God can do it. That God will do it. Come on, right now, would we begin to lift up our voices right now? Would you pray with that person beside you? In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray from the front to the back, from side to side. Oh God, let healing come forth. Lord, I pray right now for physical healing in this very room. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let a miracle take place. I pray for the emotions that's been destroyed and trifled with. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will let healing virtue come forth. Let every need and every situation that's represented here today, your hand will be involved today.
Don't you tell me he can't do it.
Sunday morning. I know you could be in other places. You could probably be sitting down drinking coffee in front of a fireplace at this time. Maybe not quite the fireplace, but it's inching too close for my comfort. Praise God. Give a high five or a fist bump to somebody. Tell them you're happy to see them in the house of the Lord. Praise God. Joseph, everybody ditched you, man. And you may be seated. Man, what an awesome job this worship team has done today. Thank you, worship team, for all of your hard work. Yeah, what a wonderful job. Now, I will readily admit that there are times that when I read my Bible, I scratch my head and wonder, what in the world did I just read? Is there anybody that can get a witness in the house with that? Anybody, you're reading your Bible and you're like, what in the world just happened here? That happens. I mean, I'll be reading, I'm like, holy cow, did that really go on? Or maybe I read it wrong. And then there's times that I read the Bible and it kind of comes to life. I have a very, very vivid imagination. I grew up with just a radio and the newspapers, not by choice, but by command, I guess. I don't know. But I would sit for hours and I would listen to Adventures in Odyssey and the Sugar Creek Gang. And even then, I kind of graduated to Louis L'Amour. Anybody know who Louis L'Amour, the great? Oh, there it is. A few of you do. Holy cow, they got those things on animated cassette tape. Not even CD yet. Cassette tape. And I would listen. And I would begin to put myself there. And I would look at Chick Beaudry, the Texas Ranger. You know, I could just hear the horses. I mean, I was just... when I read the Bible, I can every once in a while, I could close my eyes. And hear the sound of the clashing sword. I can easily imagine the steam rolling off the soldiers' arms from the sweat meeting in the coolness of the night. If I allow myself, even today, even right now, if I allow my mind to go and I'll put myself into situations that if somebody is climbing a mountain, it's not Sylvester Stallone or Jason Bourne, it's Jason Clutter on that mountain. Come on, somebody, say amen. Rambo ain't got nothing on me, boy howdy. But I want to tell you, there's time I'll be just, even if I'm driving through the mountains, my hands will start to sweat, and not because of the fear of my wife's driving. She does much better than I. I tend to sleep in the mountains while driving. But I get this thought. I start thinking, what would I do if I just fell out here? How would I save my family? And you know, I start sweating. My hands start sweating. They say that those types of people, that their hands sweat, you're really a basket case. That's what some psychologists. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody got sweaty hands every once in a while? Oh, my Lord, look at all these crazy people out here. Whew, I thought I was all alone. But there's those moments where I'm sliding off the edge of a cliff. My heart rate goes up. And I was reading the other day about Jael, the woman who was mightily used by the Lord to bring deliverance to Israel. It comes to life. If you have not read the story of this, it's only a few scriptures about Jael. It's kind of interesting. It's kind of morbid. It's a little weird, but it's in the Bible. Somebody say amen. And then there's those times when I read and I find myself getting a little frustrated with the situation that's being presented before me. The thing that bothers me about reading the latter chapters of Joshua and leading into the book of the Judges is this. I found myself frustrated because I was reading it just like anybody else probably would. And I don't judge. How else are we supposed to read the Bible? We're supposed to read it and understand what we understand and then dig out what we need to dig out and so forth. But the problem was that when I was reading the last few chapters of Joshua following into the book of Judges, I was reading the pages from the point of view where the history had already happened. The narrative is set and the issues had already been resolved. Let me be clear. I have no issue with the author. Can somebody say amen? The author, you see, he has no rival. He has no equal. Don't get me wrong. I find no fault through the pages of Holy Writ. But make no mistake, humanity is frail and full of calamity. But the Word of God, are you thankful that the Word of God stands and has stand and withstands against the test of time? Somebody shout hallelujah. How many's ever found that to be true, that when you're going through something, you can open up the Bible and all of a sudden it's as if the words are jumping out at you and it's ministering to you. It's talking to you about your need and your situation. Oh, it's the Word of God. Are you thankful today for the Word of God? See, it's a roadmap. It will help you to navigate through your emotions, the intellect, and even your current condition. Hear me clearly today. His word is forever settled, and like the author, it changes not. The Bible, your Bible, my Bible, it is, according to Scripture, divinely inspired by the Lord of glory. For the Bible reads in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for the training in righteousness. 2 Peter chapter 1, 20 says this, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You see, what you and I read today is a holy God giving us a holy word. And I need a relationship with a holy heaven. Praise God. One translation reads like this, of 2 Peter chapter 1. The main thing to keep in mind here is that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of private opinion. And why? Because it's not something concocted in the human heart. Prophecy resulted when the Holy Spirit prompted men and women to speak God's word. How many are thankful one more time for the word of God? Would you clap your hands and say amen? You see, the Bible, it is written. It is the written God-inspired words of the Lord. It expresses who He is, what He has done, and most certainly what He has accomplished and will do throughout, both in judgment and salvation. You see, the Bible, the Word of God, it has been so graciously put into you and I's hands. It is the only authoritative standard for faith in our life. We need the Word of God. Look at somebody, smile at them and say, you need the Bible. You see, humanity, they may not know how to praise the Creator, yet His Word instructs us how to do so. Enter, the Bible says, into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house. We may not understand how to worship the Creator, but the Bible, the directive directions given to you and I, it says, oh, clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God. It's the Word of God, and it will give us direction. The Word of God, it's infallible, immutable, inerrant, reliable, clear, and sufficient. I have no problem with the Word of God. You see, my issue today is not with the author, but rather the issue is my point of you. Somebody say amen. I would read a chapter and I'd say, uh-oh, that's going to catch up with you. Come on, how many know what I'm talking about? I mean, I read about David and Bathsheba and I'm thinking, I'm reading from my point of view. History has now happened. I already know what the end is, but I'm looking at this cat because he's living it real life and I'm thinking, dude, why are you doing that? You could have any person in the world and you're picking a married woman. Oh, the scorn that you're going to feel later in life. I start thinking, why didn't Judah just run all the wrong ones out of town? I'd read another chapter and then shake my head at the lackadaisical ways that they would treat the mandates of Almighty God. And sure enough, I'd turn another page. And once again, I'm reading from my personal point of view of what has happened and so forth. And I'd ask myself these questions. Why in the world the people that are called by His holy name, facing things that they would have never had to face or deal with had they just walked according to what God said? See, it's always easier. You know, it's kind of like raising kids. I was a professional at raising kids until, you know, when my nephew and niece were born. I'll tell you what, I'd say, man, why is that baby crying all day? I had no idea what I was talking about. But I was a professional because I never had a kid at that point. Now I know. I know what someone being tongue-tied would do to your sleep. I know. I pity my wife because here's the truth. One of my children, when Spencer was born, they jumped on my back. I won't say which of the older two it was, but she does a great job playing the piano. I couldn't move, and she's getting ready to have this tongue-tied baby that's going to keep us up all night long for, it felt like a year, but it was probably more like 6 weeks, maybe longer. Oh, my Lord, no wonder why I'm in trouble. This is your fault, Spencer. But Chloe, she, God love her. She jumped on my back, and according to the x-rays, they said I fractured my spine. I wasn't much help during this. She's going out for WWF and all that, so be careful. But I'd read things, and I'm like, why in the world did this happen? And, you know, again, you're a professional when it's from your point of view. Why in the world did the Lord deliver them from the hands of a bloodthirsty Pharaoh, a warring Pharaoh, give them promises of places, and yet once again, you leave it up to humanity and crazy comes out. I mean, we're all a little messy, aren't we? Look at somebody now and say, you're messy. Look at somebody else and smile and say, oh yeah, I'm talking to you. You're messy. Here's the reality. You can't spell mess without spelling me, because we're all a little messy. But you know, there was the Bible. The Bible. The Sunday school song that goes like this. It was taught back in the day. The B-I-B-L-E. Look, we got a whole line of choir practice here happening. Good job. Good job. How about this one? Read your Bible and... Oh, come on. Keep it going. Read your Bible and pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And you'll grow, grow, grow. And you will grow until you... And when you're singing the song, you got to start real low and kind of work your way up. You know, I never had the problem of growing too high. But and then the part of the song goes like this. If you don't read your Bible and pray every day, then you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. And then you'll get to the point as a child, they're laying on the ground, flopping like a fish out of water. But the Bible, so important. And again, I have no issue with the author. But when I read the Word of God, I found myself getting a little frustrated, not just with the hundreds of the begots, not just with the various genealogies with names that would stump the reigning spelling bee champion, but it's as if the Lord just kind of clunked me on my head. And then I seen what the issue was. I understood then for a moment why my frustration was a constant companion when reading the Bible. Everybody say the Bible. See, the Lord in His mercy just kind of let the light bulb go off for me. And I realized here the problem is. I was reading some of the histories from my personal point of view. Yet they at that time were seeing it almost as what we call live stream. Anybody ever see a live stream video? I mean, some are good, some are bad, some are crazy. Some have no idea even how to work a camera. One moment you're looking at the floor, you're looking at the ceiling, and you got someone say, look at me. They're taking pictures of their food. They're showing you what they're eating. I mean, live stream, it's both good and bad. They're showing things that's not even important. You know, and some lives, some people are good at it again. But it's as if these people in biblical times, from the Genesis to the Revelations, you see, when we look at those books and those scriptures, we're reading it from a point of view that maybe this had happened and this is going to happen, or God did it for them, God can do it for me. But then there's times, though, that we need to understand and maybe try to shift our point of view into the eyes of those Israelites, or from the eyes of a Pharaoh, and what was going on and how was this happening. What I'm saying is these folks were living out these days as though they were. So let's bring that mindset to the here and now. When reading, again, the books of Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and even, again, the Genesis of it all, sometimes we miss the message and the messenger by not asking the proper questions. And here they are. Who, what, why, where, when, and how is this applicable to me today? Everybody say the Word of God. Again, humanity is messy. The Bible says it in Proverbs chapter 16 and 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. One translation kind of breaks it down like this. There's a way that looks harmless enough. Look again, it leads straight to hell. That's to the point, ain't it? But I found myself, again, in the book of the Judges, reading and looking at it from my point of view, and was wondering, why couldn't the tribes of Israel never claim all that God had for them? He promised that they would live in houses that they did not build. They would eat from vineyards they did not plant. They were going to gain and not lose. And we've got to read some scripture now to mentally place ourselves there. See, see it, feel it, experience what they of old were dealing with. During the times of the judges, the Bible reads like this, Judges chapter 17 and 6. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. One translation says, at that time there was no king in Israel. People did whatever they felt like doing. If it felt good, then do it. Judges chapter 2, 10. And all the generations also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they abandoned the ways of the Lord, the God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the people who were around them and bowed to them. And they provoked the Lord to anger. So not only did they do what they wanted to do, they forsook the ways of God Almighty while living in the promised land. You see, deals were being made just like they're brokered out every single day, where they'd say, don't say that, that's not politically correct. You know that here we are, we're supposed to be, I know it's where we're supposed to be, but yet at the same time, we can't say those things or we can't do those things. How many know what I'm talking about? How many hears that today? Somebody say amen. Think about that. There they are. There's this false love type of ideology being promoted. Think about that now. The old mindset of keep your friends close, but keep your enemies closer. You think that was just thought up? Humanity has been conniving all throughout the history of in years, and it still does. You can't tell me the Amalekites through Scripture didn't think like that. They had weird thoughts. They thought, I'm going to keep my enemy close, closer than my friend. The false love and the acceptance that those in the times of Israel that was living in the promised land, but yet they were in survival mode while living in the promised land. They were doing whatever it would take to survive, yet never conquer what God gave them. That's a scary thought, isn't it? And so they get this ideology of saying, I need to promote false love and acceptance is maybe, and that's good and that's kind and so forth, but it could easily be misunderstood. Somebody say amen. See, it's understood by the adult, but the problem is the little feet that follow you only see you showing acceptance, and through their lens, if mama and daddy are doing it or okay with it, then why can't we? They're just trying to make it. They're just trying to survive and just trying to make do with what they had. The children of Israel was living in a promised land that God had given them. He gave that to them, yet for whatever reason, they were in survival mode. Let me just get through this. John Wesley said it like this, what one generation tolerates, the next generation will embrace. And again, I found myself frustrated with my readings because I knew what was going to happen. Who has ever read the Bible where you're like, oh yeah, it's right there. They're going down. I knew that David was going to take care of Goliath. I pretty much knew it before I even started reading. I read a little bit. Yep, that's the dude. He's going to take out that giant. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. Amen. But something happened that when I changed my perspective and read it through the lens of it happening right now in real time. Judges chapter 1 and 21 reads, but the people of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites. Judges chapter 1 and 27, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean in its villages, or Tanakh in its villages, or the inhabitants of Dor. Judges chapter 1 and 29, and Ephraim did not drive out the Canaanites who lived in Gezer, so the Canaanites lived in Gezer among them. Judges chapter 1 and verse 30, Zebulun did not drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, or the inhabitants of Nahal. Judges chapter 1 and 30, the Bible says, and Asher did not drive out the inhabitants of Sidon or Alab or Exeb or of Helba or of Aphek or of Rehob. Judges chapter 1:33. Naphtali did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, of the inhabitants of Bethnath. You see, these were places that God had given them with this mandate. Not only will you drive them out, but make sure you follow my teachings. They were instructed to teach their children, Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Bible says it, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Can somebody say amen? And it goes on like this, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." You can read more of the commands of God in verses 6 through verse 15, where it talks about how he will bring you out of bondage, but yet at the same time, if you turn your back on him, the judgments will come. Let's just quote. Anybody can quote Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verses 4 through 5. Are you ready? Maybe we'll put it on the screen. Make it easy for everybody. "Hear, O Israel." Verse 5. See, that was pretty good. We got a Bible quizzing team, I think, is getting ready to start now. Look at all you guys, Bible quizzers now. Tremendous. But Jesus, he even quoted this in the book of Mark chapter 12, telling them what the first commandment was. He said the first thing that you and I are supposed to do was hear. Akou, it is in the Greek. This is a unique word because in the English language, this is where we get the word acoustics. Okay? And I've been in places where the acoustics are terrible. Everything just jumbles together with no distinction, and everything just becomes a noise and a distraction. How many know what I'm talking about? Say amen. So right here from the gate, the Lord is establishing a mandate in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, as well as he taught in Mark chapter 12. He said, "Listen up, eliminate the distractions in order for everything to work right. It starts with getting the room right." Hear me clearly today. You see, you have to determine what is the distraction and what is the main attraction. We got to make a declaration that I'm going to serve God no matter what. No distraction will keep me from Jesus. So he starts with the command, "Hear, O Israel." It's not just saying perk up and listen. He's saying there's an action to it. You need to remove the distractions, because if you want your life to be right, it all hinges on whether or not you will remove the distractions and make the Lord your God. "Hear, O Israel." It means to comprehend, to attend to. He's getting everything in focus. I'll tell you this, bad acoustics will make you feel like you're in a tube with 10 kindergartners, the lunch lady, the bus driver, the music teacher teaching them that terrible little thing that's a flute that every fourth or fifth grader gets, a recorder. They're all trying to play hot cross buns, and you're about to lose your mind. Someone gets a little fancy and they start into "Mary Had a Little Lamb," and they're getting "Mary Had a Little Lamb," Mary, never mind, I won't get Mary caught up with the hot cross buns. But I think chaos would be putting it lightly. But if you could turn the noise down, dial everything into proportion, get rid of the bad and in with the right. Get rid of the noise and the confusion. You'll get what you came for. You'll inherit. You'll receive. And this is exactly what the mandates of God is. If you could just eliminate the distractions, tune into what I'm saying. He's saying it starts with whether or not you will hear, O Israel, the Lord. It begins with the Lord, and he is one, and you need to worship him with everything in you. So he said, the greatest commandment's here. And everybody say that, I will hear. Here's what we're supposed to do with the one Lord that we've already established. It's love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And when our heart and soul are right and they get right and made right through his spirit, it affects every other part of who we are. And therein lies the issue in the book of the Judges. It's after God had talked to them and said, you need to establish this point here, O Israel. Get the acoustics right. Remove the distraction. Understand what is the main attraction. Get the room right. Get your life right. And when you get everything that doesn't belong right in your life, you will love God and He will allow you to prosper. Can somebody say amen? This is exactly what was going on. And here in Judges, why? I would read and I'd flip a page and I'm like, you're going down, boy. I know that joker is going to get, jail is going to put a spike in your head. It's going to be a bad day. It's in the Bible. Somebody say amen. But here's the problem, that in the book of the Judges, and while I was frustrated, and again, I have no problem with the author, I had the problem with my point of view, and I needed to put myself into that situation and begin to look at it through the lens of the people of Israel. And here is the problem. They did not remove the distractions, and they decided to negotiate the terms of their survival among their peers and the enemies of God. That's the problem. We've got to quit, hear me today, we've got to quit negotiating our salvation for temporary things. We've got to quit settling for things right now when God said there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. We got to get the mindset that here, O Israel, the Lord, we're going to serve Him with everything. The entire reason that it wasn't long after Joshua's generation had passed away and mama and daddy are now gone, it's up to the youngins to carry on this monotheistic viewpoint. And they that are holy to God and they are for God, and those talents ought not to be wasted frivolously. But it's because when you and I change the point of view and we put ourselves in Scripture, now we're not looking at it as you are reading Scripture, but rather you're living it out. You'll find that they were in survival mode while living in a promised land. You see, it was easier to compromise their beliefs and their ways rather than standing up for righteousness in the ways of God Almighty. Judges chapter 3, but the people of Israel made themselves at home among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hittites, the Hivites, and Jebusites. They married their daughters and gave their own daughters to their sons in marriage, and they worshiped their gods. My assignment today is simple. The reason why you and I are fighting battles that we don't even have to or need to is because we've allowed God's ways to become personal opinion rather than holy mandates. Maybe I need to cock back and punch us in the nose again. I'm say that one more time. The reason why you find yourself having issues. Look at somebody and say, you got issues. The reason why many times folks have issues is because they have made the mandates of God personal opinion or point of view, and not that, hey, this is what a holy God said in His holy word, calling from a holy heaven. My assignment today, it's easy, it's simple. The reason why the people of Israel was never able to see all that God had for them was because of their lackadaisical, languorous attitude. They would consistently vacillate between serving God and yet living at peace, complete peace, taking on the attributes of those that were around them, willing to negotiate their salvation away, their freedoms in God away. There arose a generation, the Bible says, who did not even know God. You remember when, it was probably a year or two ago, remember when I talked about my truck that got, some of y'all weren't here, my truck getting bad gas? Does anybody remember that? I wanted to title the message, The Day I Got Bad Gas, but my wife said it wouldn't go over real well. But it was my pickup truck that got bad gas. I drove down to the I won't tell you the store. It wasn't the Marathon, so if you want to go there, that's your business. But I'll never forget getting gas in that truck, thinking that, and I accidentally filled it up, which, you know, that's about an $80 deal on accident. But what I found was the issue that I had was I had water in my gas tank. And nothing will shut a vehicle down faster than water in your gas tank. You see, it was mixed with the wrong. And here it goes. Nothing shuts down a moving church or moving body of believers like getting mixed up with the wrong things, the wrong people, with the wrong spirit, and certainly a Christian attempting to mix the wrongs of the world with what we live and move. Nothing will shut you down faster than you trying to fit in to this world system. Come on, somebody, say amen. It will shut you down just like bad gas can. It will. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19, what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You are bought with a price. 1 Peter chapter 2 and 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. 1 John 2, 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I tell us today that we've got to be careful that we don't look at the mandates of God as personal point of view. Because when we do that, we'll find we're merely surviving when God is saying, you can conquer those things. You can conquer this because you start with Hero Israel. Get the room right. Get the distractions out of the way. Paul said it like this, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Hear me today. You are walking in dangerous grounds when you start linking arm in arm with somebody that doesn't love God like you do. It's tough. For example, you love God, but homeboy don't. Guess what's going to happen come Sunday morning? Homeboy's going to look at you and say, oh, baby, you look so good today. Oh, leave me alone, you silly boy. Now, I don't know if that really happens, okay? Don't be looking at my wife like she calls me a silly boy, because that don't happen. Boy, I really opened up. I should have taken another week off because of being sick. You're getting me in rare form. You see, what happens is then when you try to link up or you've got friends, everybody knows this. This is, we could say, oh, this is a little basic. Well, let me get basic. But whenever I got a friend that wants me to stay up all night long and do whatever I got to do, but that's Saturday night, and I know that at 10 o'clock I got to be at church, but all along I'm saying, oh, I better not. Don't link up with them on Saturday night. Come on, somebody, say amen. My mother and father would never, you know, and maybe I'm old school, maybe I'm old fashioned, but my mother and father would never let me stay the night at somebody's house on Saturday night because we had to go to church in the morning. It's like the old saying that goes like this, I was drugged, you know, I was drugged to church, I was drugged to Bible study, I was drugged, you know, that's my mama. And if we got to church and we were falling asleep, boy, howdy, she lay a whooping on you like nobody's business. And then you got my old hillbilly dad saying, deed, boy, I'll poke your eyes out. It was a good living. But the problem with being unequally yoked, and this is what happened in the book of the Judges, is because they started giving of themselves and taking on the ways of their surroundings. They started negotiating the terms of their survival when God said, this is yours. You can have this. All you got to do is get up and go after it. But the problem was, is they became unequally yoked and they started just kind of lollygagging in the wrong laps of the wrong people. Well, they started saying, well, it can't be that bad. It's really not that bad. Unequally yoked. And Paul said, be not unequally yoked. And the term is coming with the idea and presented a word picture of, you know, kind of like if you were to hook up a giraffe with a turtle. You're not going to get anything done. A tortoise and a hare. I mean, my goodness, it'd be like linking up a donkey with a Clydesdale. It's just one's bigger than the other. So what's going to happen is one is going to pull one way, uneven, unbalanced, and guess what happens? You're walking in circles, and you don't know, have any direction, and that's exactly what's happening today. They're linked up to all the wrong things. And now their life's a mess. They're falling apart. They can't figure out what's going on. And they're crying the blues. And they're saying, God, why? It wasn't a matter of God, why. It was them had to look in the mirror and say, I didn't get the room right. I didn't get the acoustics right. I deviated from the love of the one true living God. Everybody say, it's a me problem. Look at somebody and say, you got a problem, so do I. That felt good for some of you because y'all are thinking, yeah, you don't even know what I'm talking about. Instead of working together, they're fighting each other. I mean, Brother Williams, can you come up here? I mean, look at this stud. Hot cup of... Well, your wife's not here. Okay. I mean, just stand right there. We don't want to push this too much. I mean, I'm about your height right here. Finally, I can look at him in the eyes. Now, if him and I were linked up together, working together, pulling the same weight, I mean, right now, it doesn't look too bad. It actually feels pretty good. For me. But here lies the problem. It is exactly what Paul was attempting to tell the people of God. And it's this real life situation that's happening in the book of the Judges. You see, they were unequally yoked up with things that they should not have been. And so they were consistently walking in circles. And God said, you can't do that. Get the room right. Get the acoustics right. Get rid of the distractions and follow me. Because here's what happens. Are you ready? This is going to be mind-blowing. You think I'm this tall, but no. Look at this. What a mess. What a mess. I mean, he's slightly bigger than me. I could be on a stool and still not even, 3-foot stepladder and still not even touch him. But I'm telling you that right now, if we're working together, I'm pulling one way. And he's like, no. And he's stronger than me. And so he's dragging me. And I get frustrated. And I'm saying, why? Thank you, Brother Williams. But why in the world am I facing this? And why am I going through this? And all along, it's because I'm unequally yoked. And that's exactly what's happened in the book of the Judges. We got to get it right. We got to get it right. Come on, so you got to get it right. Look at somebody and say, you got to get it right. The travesty of the scriptures, if we could stand. The travesty of this whole text in the book of Joshua to the Judges is when you can put yourself in the situation of compromise, less dedication, less serving, the result will always be the same. The Bible reads it in Judges 17:6. Every man did that which was right in their own eyes. Judges 21:25, and at that time there was no king in Israel, but people did whatever they felt like doing. And there was a generation that arose that did not know God, Judges 2:10-12. The reason why I was reading Judges, the book of the Judges, and becoming frustrated because I knew what was going to happen and I felt like I wanted to yell at my Bible and say, no, don't do that. Don't go there. But they didn't hear me. That's pretty smart deduction, isn't that? But here's what was happening was I then had to change my point of view and I had to look at it from their point of view. And I had to begin asking the questions, why didn't mama say something? Or why didn't daddy do something? Why didn't the single mother say, you know what, I know it's rough, but I'm going to serve the Lord. It's hard. It doesn't make sense. But you see, this is, we're going to go real life with this. And they began to negotiate their survival when God said, this is for you. How frustrating is that? That God Almighty has promises for you. Joy for you, peace for you, a feeling of completeness for you, but yet we trade it away because you say, it's just, if I could have a little bit of this now and a little bit of this now, you see, you're pulled, you're unequally yoked, and you're walking in circles, and Brother Williams is dragging me around. See, when you put yourself into the point of view of Scripture, you begin to ask yourself, why did they merely survive? Read for yourself. Israel would continually fall prey to the enemies around them because they chose not to serve the one true living God. That's why. They refused to remove the distractions. I tell us today, eliminate the distractions and the love of the Lord with every and love the Lord with everything inside of you. One of the worst things, hear me today, I think, besides going to hell is this, which is a place of judgment and isolation from God Almighty. One of the worst things of going to hell, hear me today, one of the worst things of going to hell is going to hell and looking around and there's my family right there by me. Think about that now. And then those babies are looking at me and say, why didn't you keep us from this toy? Why didn't you keep us from this place of torture? Mom and Dad, you got a job to, I got a job to do. I know, I believe you me, I pray a little bit, and I know what's been said around in the kitchen table. Well, pastor just doesn't understand what we're going through. We've got this and this. No, you listen to me. I was 15, I was 16, I was 12, and I was as wild as they come. I did what I wanted to do, and that was the distraction. And at some point, I had to get this idea, hey, you know what? I've got to remove the distraction, and I've got to serve God for myself. And the reason why there was bondage and judges is because they refused to remove the distractions. And when you put yourself, myself, into their shoes, hear me clearly today, the reason why they kept walking in circles is because they were content to merely survive and not thrive. It was a mindset change. That's why Joshua ended it like this. His time with leading the people, he said, choose you this day who you're going to serve. Choose you this as for me and my house. Would you look at somebody and say, it's my house. Choose you this day whom you will serve as for me and my house. Please, Antonia, I have a strong feeling by judging on this first row that it's your house, it's your rules. She's smiling. She's like, you don't even know. But judging by this front row, you better get your fannies to church or else. Look at that. Eli's like, oh, you don't even know. I've been beat with a flip-flop. No, I'm teasing. Look at that little chick right here just ready to worship God. Jalea, what a sweet baby. And when they're at that age, they don't know much. I mean, maybe she does. She knows how to worship. But you see, what has to happen is mom and dad have to train them, lead them into the ways of the Lord. Is it easy? Absolutely not. You're saying, pastor, are you old-fashioned? I don't know, maybe. But I still think that as for me in my house, if you're in my house, guess what? We're serving the Lord. You may not like it. You might come kicking and screaming. I mean, my mother, I don't know how many times my brother lost his license and how many times I had to chaperone that joker on a date. It was terrible. Hearing Raina and Jeremy saying, oh, I love you. No, I love you more. No, 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 I love you. No, 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 I love you more. And I'm like, dude, just get over this. Just would you get married? I'm tired of this nonsense. But it's because my mom didn't trust my brother. It wasn't that she didn't trust my brother. She didn't trust his desires. See, folks, we've got to make choices now. Because guess what's going to happen? The next generation and the next generation, it's only going to get crazier. And we've got to make a declaration. I'm going to hear what the mandates are. I said it already. One of the worst things about going to hell is going to hell with your family and them looking at you saying, why didn't you tell me? That's a terrible thought. You mean to tell me we could have gotten out of this place? There was a way out, and yet here we are separated from the love of God. All the things that God had for us, and we chose to survive. I tell us today, don't try to survive when God gave you promises. You get up and go after it with everything in you. Would you grab the hand of the person next to you? I'm going to ask if you feel comfortable. If you don't have family here, link up with somebody and say, we're family today. See, Israel had to deal with bondage. They had to deal with memories. They had to deal with things that they never had to deal with had they had a made-up mind to serve God, no matter what. I mean, there's things that all of us, we've got things that we've done in our life that we're not proud of. Somebody say amen. Come on, we're level ground here. We ain't trying to fool nobody. You lie, you fry if you're acting like you've done walked on water with Jesus. Every last one of us, some of us have had memories of things, and you can't get rid of that no matter what you do. You try to forget about it, but you have it in the back of your mind, and a certain smell, a certain thing will trigger that thought, and all of a sudden you're facing that, and you're praying, God, please, I don't want to live that life. I don't want to have to deal with that again. You see, that's Israel. They didn't have to do things in Scripture. They didn't have to go through certain things, yet they... because they chose not to stand for God. See, they didn't make it. It wasn't a matter of choice of whether right or wrong. They just choose not to do anything. And that therein is a choice to do nothing. When we make no decision, we're making a decision. But how many today are with me that says, you know what? I want to be saved. Come on, right now, lift those hands to heaven. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. I want my family saved. I want my family saved. Come on, lift your voice right now all across this place. Come on, I want my family saved. No matter what, I want my family saved. We will do that. I'm praying right now in this place that you will eliminate the distractions, God. I'm praying right now that, Lord, you will eliminate the distractions of this world system. That, God, if I'm not liked by the world but loved by the heavens, I want that. If I never accomplish something here on this earth but make it to heaven, nothing else matters. I want that, Lord Jesus. I want that, Lord Jesus. One more push, and I'm not trying to prolong an altar call, but I am trying to reach for every last one of us to have a moment in his presence. You've prayed with your family. Now would you find somebody else? Go ahead, it's okay. Nobody bites here. Go ahead, find somebody right now. Come on, link up with somebody. It's okay. It's okay. If you're alone, don't be alone. Just, I don't want anybody to be lonely. Because you're not alone. The song is a prayer. Somewhere along the line, the people of Israel stopped praying this prayer at that junction in their time. Right now, would you begin to lift your voice and pray with that person next to you? Lord, we're making a declaration. We're removing the distractions. Come on, pray, pray right now, because you see, you don't have to face some of the things. You won't have to have those memories that haunt you. Make a declaration today. Not only am I going to hear and do, but God, I'm going to remove things in my life that ought not to be there, that are keeping me from getting into your presence. I pray right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let it be done. I pray a blessing on every life here in this place, that when we are blessed, we are equally covered, but that means we've got to submit our ways to you. I've got to submit my desires to you. I've got to set my goals at your feet. Come on, lift your voice, oh God. I need you today, Lord Jesus. Your family and your children and the children. Come on, let's sing it. shine upon you. The Lord bless you and keep you. You see, in that keeping process, here's the keeping process. It means sometimes when I get out of line, He'll push me back in line. How many's ever gotten out of line? Oh, yeah. But yet in His love, His mercy, His grace, He just kind of bumps you back in place. So when you say, the Lord bless you and keep you, you're willing, you're saying, Lord, not only do I want you to bless me and cover me, I want you to, because that's what bless means. It doesn't just mean, to bestow something upon somebody, but it literally means to come under the shadow of. So when He says, the Lord bless you, let me cover you. I want the Lord to cover me. I want the Lord to cover me. I want the Lord to cover my family. Come on, somebody, help me out here. Do you want God to cover your family and make His face shine upon you? It's just not the favor of God, but it's also giving God access to your life, to what you do every single day when you're not in the church, or when you're not worshiping, or when you're not reading your Bible. When it doesn't make sense, it's who you really are when nobody's looking. You're letting God look at you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you. Just illuminate my way, God, in your ways. You see, the problem with the people of Israel from Joshua to the Judges, and the frustrating part that I found myself reading, was my personal point of view, and I needed to look at it through their lens. The reason why is because they attempted to negotiate their survival, hooking up with things and not removing the distractions. That's the problem. You see, when God has something great for you, it's going to require you to get up and go after it. Would you clap your hands and say, does it always make sense? No, it doesn't always make sense. But it will keep you. You won't have to deal with thoughts. You won't have to deal with memories of what you once was. But when you're covered by the blood of the Lamb, guess what? You can remind the devil just who you belong to. Come on, somebody, right now, lift your hands and say it. I belong to the Lord. Lift your voice. Lift your voice right now, all across this place. Would you lift your voice? All around you and within you, He is with you. He is with you. Come on, let you lift your voice and begin to say it. I belong to the Lord. I belong to the Lord. Devil, get out of my mind. Get out of my thoughts. Get out of my emotions. I belong to the Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we're going to pray right now. Lord, I pray right now in your precious name, Jesus, that through this covering of baptism, that you will wash away our sins. I pray in you that she will be covered by your name, Lord, and that you will direct her paths. Now, Serena, at the confession of your faith and your willingness to be identified with Jesus, called the Christ, through the death, burial, resurrection, we baptize you now in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. Come on, let's celebrate this moment. Yes, yes, yes. want you to look at that person next to you and say, I'm not going to merely survive, but I'm going to thrive in the presence of God. Turn around and look at somebody saying, I bless you and pray the Lord to keep you. Say, the Lord bless you and keep you. Go ahead and make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. And he will keep you. Let's pray right now. Lord Jesus, you are most certainly in this place. I praise you, Lord God, for what you're doing and what you've done. I pray, God. I know it's a challenging word, and at times we have to get a word to set us free. So I pray that God Almighty, that you will give us the strength to do what only you know what we need to do. I pray in Jesus' name, help us to stand strong in this crazy world. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.